his thing, but it is directed toward the divorced person, by an if thou marry.
That's context, yes.
Just thinking, I'm gonna have to go ahead.
All right.
That's very good. Have to do two things.
Very good comments. I just had a couple questions, on the, in verse 27 there, do you believe that the binding that he's talking about there and the loosening is something that happened before they became Christians or after? And then I got another question after that.
Well, this is wrote to Christians, and probably in the context, you're probably referring to Christians.
Read that, let's go. If you go, because I've had a little trouble with this chapter myself, if you go down through the starting verse 17, and it seems like he's contrasting here the state that the person was before he became a Christian and the state he was after he became a Christian. Okay, you take that and you look, because verse 17 says, as the Lord has called everyone, so let him walk. And he says, if any man called in circumcision, okay, if you were a Jew, then don't try to be a Gentile. If you're a Gentile, after becoming a Christian, don't try to be a Jew. If you want to simplify. Then he goes on to verse 20, let every man again abide in the same calling where he's called. And he says, are you a servant? Well, before you're a Christian, were you a servant? Well, after you become a Christian, don't try to get out of that relation, like you said. If you were a master before you were a Christian, try to get out of that relationship after you're a Christian. Okay? If you carry that on down, then he goes down to verse 24, brethren, let every man remain in calling the same thing again. And then he goes down to verse 27 there. If he's keeping the same logic, if he's saying, were you bound to a wife before you became a Christian? Okay, in other words, were you married before you became a Christian? Then after you become a Christian, don't try to get out of that relationship just because you're a Christian. Or you loosed from a wife, whatever loose means. So that means divorce. Were you loosed from a wife before you became a Christian? Then now that you're a Christian, don't seek a wife. And I'm just wondering if we're talking, I'm not sure that can apply to a situation that regulates Christians. Like, example, John and Mary get married after they're Christian. I'm not sure that that's regulating them. I'm wondering if it's regulating something that happened beforehand, and because of this fact, keeps it parallel from verse 17 all the way through. The same logic. You were this before you're Christian, now don't try to get out of that relationship after you become Christian. Could you comment on that?
I think this is referring to people that are Christian. He's not telling a slave out of the world, a master out of the world, what to do.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying. I know exactly what you're saying. But what I'm saying is that's what he's talking about. And I don't think in verse 27 and 28 that he's talking there about people that are in the world. And their condition before they come in, brethren, let every man wherein is called therein abide with God. Verse 24 and verse 20, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. So that's what I'm going to do. I know what your question is. Your question is probably that if a man has been divorced, remarried, is out in the world, he comes in the church, what should he do?
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. We'll go on. It may reoccur in a different form.
I'll ask you one question. I think when he comes to the church, he's divided there and all the passing is given. That's all.
Terry.
In the last part of verse 28, and if the virgin marries, she does not sin. Does this virgin here, is she said in contrast to the man who in the first part of the verse is divorced and therefore himself not a virgin? In other words, does the mentioning of her being a virgin prove the fact that he's not a virgin and therefore is divorced, as you presented? Or is it mentioned that she's a virgin? Is she the one that he is marrying and thus mentioning that she hasn't sinned as a virgin, implying that he too is a virgin, and therefore he's not a divorced man, he's just an unmarried man, does, do they have any relationship at all from one to the other?
I think the 2, verse 25, now concerning virgin, I have no command of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. Then it says in verse and then it goes ahead and says, and if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned under this present distress. And I think that's referring to present distress.
So you're saying then that because it then mentions her as a virgin, that is sort of in contrast to him showing that he's not a virgin and therefore divorced would be. Is that what you're saying? It's just a question I have because obviously there are a lot of people that would disagree with what you said. So he's not a divorced man, he's just single and unmarried. And all I'm asking is, does what mentioned in the last part of the verse about her being a virgin have anything to do with determining whether he is actually a divorced man or just an unmarried single?
Okay.
Never been
okay.
Divorced.
In this verse, I think the first part of that verse is pointing out the fact that if this man, the scripture, the Lucian wife, if he marries, he has not sinned. I don't think that limits it to maybe a woman over here that has the same call, or the widow of verse 39, or a virgin. A virgin could marry because they're both in a scriptural position where they can marry. But I don't think the context here is referring to that. I think it's referring to two separate things.
Okay.
One here that's scripturally divorced, and one that's a virgin, never been married. I think it's referring to that.
Tony. We've done a lot of talking about context in this meeting. I think that what I'm going to say about verses 36, 37, 38 fits the context a little better. Now, I'm not saying I'm right, but what I'm going to say is let me just start reading verse 35, for instance. He says, "This I say to your own prophet, not that I may put a snare on you, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction." You know, the whole idea is trying to keep a person being distracted sexually, you know, from doing what God has to do, is the idea I have in mind, you know, what we're talking about. Then he says, but if any person, in contrast, if any person thinks he's behaving properly toward his virgin, if you pass the flower for you, and that's what must be, let him do what he wishes, he does not sin, let him marry. I think my position on that is, to be more with context and all, is that it's like kind of like what Diaglot says. I'm going to read this since it's more plain. But if anyone thinks he acts improperly in remaining single or toward his virginity, he gives a little note down here showing that the word virgin, as it's translated in King James, is translated virginity sometimes, or can be a celibacy. And it says, if he be past age, still, it's talking about a man, you know, it's not talking about a father or all, it's just one particular male man. If he thinks he's improper for his virginity, let him, he's the past age, and thus is fitting to be married, let him do what he wishes. He sins not, let him marry. But if he who stands firm in his heart, not having necessity, but his control over his own will, it's over him, you know, not somebody else's will, but his own will, and has determined this in his heart to maintain his virginity, he does well, so that even he who marries does well. But he who marries not does even better. You know, because his distress is happening and everything. He doesn't matter in that sense. Now, the King James, it sticks the word she and her in there. And I think there's three times in those passages, two times not even in the original language at all. another time, if I'm not mistaken, maybe Alfred or Jimmy Cutter can straighten out this, but the word is being a third person pronoun can be translated from read he, she, or it. So they may have had the same idea in mind that you taught that somebody, a man and his daughter, so they kind of split that in there. But in every, when it comes to this Greek stuff, they translate it this way in a lot of cases, if not most that I've read. And it seems like to me putting father and daughter assumes or is put something in there that's not there. Of course, the only way people get that from all the stemming words, the pronouns of the King James. But have you come across that? Have you studied that? If you have, give me some comments on that.
Yeah, I read the dialogue. I read about 25 others. If I remember correctly, only three worded as do there. The others took the position of a father and daughter. And I want to say something here about inserting these words. You make a big play on that, but those were Greek scholars. I've got a son-in-law that's had some Greek, but he'll tell you he's not a Greek scholar. And let's not get mixed up with people who know some Greek and some Greek scholars. And are you going to say that those scholars put this in here and they give us something? The Lord let them give us something wrong?
I'm going to say that I think King James is perfect.
Well, do you think that a person would be saved of King James?
Of course.
I sure don't believe the New International Version perfect when David said over there to say to him that he was born in a mother's womb, a sinner. Let that bitch know.
Edwin, I appreciate your talk. I'd like to throw in a comment about the fact that in many countries, fathers have complete control over the marriage, especially their daughters. And this is true, of course, especially in the Middle East. Throw in an interesting note, in Malaysia, this is partially true, and so whenever someone hears about a marriage, the first thing they ask is it a love marriage or an arranged marriage? We would never think of such a question here, but that was very common over there for them to ask such a question. Talking about verses 24 through 28, now you made the statement, and I agree with it, that a person's past marital situations, marriage, divorce, and so on, which occurred walking as a sinner, are of no effect once he becomes a Christian. And do you believe that our basis for holding that position is found in these verses 24 through 28? In other words, is that what we appeal to prove that, let's say, Mr. A has been divorced and remarried two or three times, he becomes a Christian, that he is to stay with the woman that he's married to at the point of conversion? Do you believe that these verses are the ones that give us the authority to say that?
Not just by himself. I think the general teaching of the Bible and others that we don't have time to go into. No, I don't think this alone. I just say that's it. And it says that.
Vance, can you maybe speak up a little bit, Scott?
What I've got to say is not directed with this, but I've heard something recently that I feel needs to be exposed along with this. On the radio, I heard a program that they apparently had this Dr. James Dobson credited with it. And the gist of what I heard was that a harlot could become a Christian and become a virgin by becoming a Christian. I'd like your comments on that.
I would say no.
You see why I said I should be exposed here.
There can be a difference between a single and a virgin. A single girl and a virgin. Mm-hmm. They're getting back now to Christ. I won't say he wasn't, or Mary's mother wasn't a virgin.
That's my thinking on it, but I, in case there was others that heard that, I wanted to expose to the group.
Jimmy Smith.
Edwin, I think we'd all agree within limitations where every man and woman has a right to a legal companion or to a mate, but they can forfeit that right, can they not? The guilty, would they have a, still be a, every man or woman, that, would they have a right to be companion in a guilty party?
I know y'all have had this in past discussions, these meetings that I did attend, but I have never taken the position that the guilty party can remarry. Because if we do, here's what we get. If I decide I don't love Francis, I can go out and admit that and just encourage every man around to go and try to get married to her, so it'll free me so I can go remarry. Everybody in the church can do it. So I think the guilty, I think that's something that he knows. And these people in the world, these out here that are living together, they know it's against, it's not right. But they've hardened their conscience, they've hardened their hearts, they just brush it aside.
I think we can still make that statement you made, every man has right. They forfeit that right.
They forfeit that right.
That's what David Lipscomb and many of them, of course, this is not a new issue. We well know that study the old ones, took the position that it can be forfeited. And we get in a pretty rough situation to say it can't. Now, on this, back to the marriage, the daughter of no necessity for us giving a virgin marriage. You know, as Alfred brought up, and there were arranged marriages then, there's a lot of us today, we see cousins, or maybe, I mean, kinfolk, and maybe our kids later, when they need to get married. We wish they could find the right one, we say. And if it's back in that day, we might see a need where if it is in far as preparing for marriage, because young people can get grown, they need to get married. And some need to worse than others.
let me say this. It should be taught. It should be taught in the home from the time the child is old enough to learn these things. Not wait till they're 16, 17 years old and find a preacher saying, now you got to help me out. A man had a 15-year-old daughter. She was engaged. They bought the furniture and he didn't know it. And I was holding a meeting. He come to me and says, Brother Marshall, you got to help me. So I can't help you. You waited 15 years too late. And I think here is something that we need to quit talking about and doing and teaching in the pulpit more, that they're marrying the Lord, that they're big Christians, and that all these things are true. How many times we hear these things talked about right now, preaching the pulpit, in a gospel meeting? How many times? Now, I knew when Jerry called me and asked me to take this, I knew he's going to bring up a lot of controversy. I knew that. And I could very easily say, well, 4 years ago when I was down there in that ice storm, I had a wreck. So I'm afraid you're going to have an ice storm, so I don't believe I'll go. I think I'll just stay away. I pretty well got away with that. But my conviction, my conscience wouldn't let me do it. That's what I'm saying. This needs to be taught not just in a study. Brethren, the local congregation, you need to teach it. And not just depend on the preacher to teach it. And I'll tell you something. When a local brother and when brethren get up and say something, it adds a lot of weight because they don't think the preacher is on one side. About the television, remember about when old Edwin started out and he used to talk about the television, everybody said, all that right, he'll have one of these days. The preacher told him, said, 10 years you'll have one. I don't have one today. I've got a lot of faults, friend. But that's one I could see through. That's why I can see through. That's all I'll say.
Gillis?
Can I bring my conversation?
Go ahead.
I don't know if I misunderstood Thayer or not. I suppose you read Thayer on this.
Yes. You got right here about the single?
Yeah.
The first thing, yeah.
If I understood it, he said, this verse says, if a man be loosed, married,
how did you say that? Okay, hold this one second. Prayer, to which any person or thing tied or fastened. That's the general meaning of the word. Properly of husband and wife joined together by the bond of matrimony. It includes husband and wife. Spoken of a single man, whether he's already had a wife or has not yet married. My question, I just asked the question, does this refer to a single person only from what Thayer says? And to say that a single is included, Thayer still includes a husband and wife.
In the last half of that subject?
Yeah.
Well, I understood him to say that this didn't refer to a single man and whether he had been married or not.
Is that what he's saying? If you want, I'll let you find it for me last week. I have my own way of finding it. It takes a little more time than I want to right now.
The second part of the verse, art thou loosed from a wife? That loosed is luo, the verb form of the first loose, which is the noun. Same word, meaning the same thing. Whatever the first loose meant, which is a noun, the second loose means, which is a verb. Here, and Thayer said it means divorce.
Here's what Thayer says. To loose any person or thing, tied or fastened, properly, the bandage of the feet, the shoes, give scripture. To take off, give scripture. Bad angel, give scripture. Talking of husband and wife, joined together with a bond of matrimony. Use a couple of three Greek words there. I don't know what they are, and they're opposites. I don't know what they are. But it's spoken of a single man, but has already had a wife, or has not yet married. 1 Corinthians 7:27. That's what Thayer said.
That's what I was referring to right there. Spoken of a single man, but has already married.
Right, but it also says here that it's a husband and wife joined together with a bond of matrimony. I'm not going to leave either one out. Most of them want to leave the husband and wife out. I just leave it for a single person.
You were asking about the word loose, still not the word bound. The word loose.
Yes. And I understood Thayer to say that last part there is spoken of a single man, whether he had been married or not.
Okay, I think I misread. Let's see. We'll go on to Tony Melton.
I think he just said what I was going to say there. I know Thayer may have said that in the latter part of verse 27, but does the context demand it? Romans 7:2 says if the husband be dead, she is loose from the wife. And would that the context demand that second loose be divorced, or could it be for dead?
He's talking about marriage here. When he's got one, he's got opposite. Art thou bound to wife? The opposite, art thou loose from wife? You got one, you got Thomas.
Bill Davis.
Brother Morris, in reference to this remaining in the state wherein you're called, it seems to me that the state that you're called in, although it might not be a desirable situation, to break that, say, to cause a divorce of an alien sinner would be to create a worse state than you already have. So it seems to me that what he's saying is that there's nothing wrong with marriage, you see. That state is acceptable in the sight of God, so continue in that. The divorce is forgiven. So you see, if a person was divorced before and then they came to the church, the state of marriage, there's nothing wrong with it. There wouldn't be anything wrong with them marrying after they came in to the church. Chuck, would you agree with that?
Yes, and there's brethren that don't believe you marry our Lord, and they'll not perform a marriage ceremony for a Christian and a sinner. People will come into church that's been divorced and remarried. They'll tell them the quote, they've got to go back to the first companions. The first question I'll ask them is, will you perform a marriage ceremony between this Christian and that sinner? Will you do it? Will you perform that marriage ceremony? Do you think you go back to them? Will you perform? You don't believe you join a Christian sinner yet?
That's his whole point up there. In the other part of that chapter is for them to remain in that state of being married to one who was a Christian who wasn't a Christian. That wasn't a desirable state, you see. But he told them to continue in it.
Okay. Evan, just a quick point on this loose from there. You know, that's apoluo, and that's the same expression that Jesus used in Matthew 5:32. And he says, if you put away your wife, you know, and we know it means a divorce over in Matthew 5:32, it means the same thing there in 1 Corinthians 7. So I think that pretty well nails the lid down on that question.
I don't think any scholar disagrees that it means divorce. You are not exception. You will say it means divorce. And you will admit it will allow remarriage. And all scholars agree, a little means divorce. And